Hey, good evening, everyone. It's Sandy Seashore coming to you from San Diego. And just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. I'm coming to you live, of course. Everybody's out with their families, maybe or maybe not. And my family is all over the United States. My brother Peter's in Chicago. My dad's in Las Vegas. My mom and other brothers in L.A. And I got my dad on the line.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
How'd you get your dad on the line?
The founder of the Comedy Store and my dad from Las Vegas.
How did you get him? I mean, he's probably so busy now. When did he find time for an Internet show?
I know.
I do television and movies. What's his Internet?
I know. Isn't that great? Well,
anyway.
How was your Thanksgiving today?
It was fine. I went to my friend's house down the street from us. He's a sports handicapper. He gives me all the games. I bet the games. Just having a lot of fun, that's all. Just, you know. And it's just great to see people coming over and just sitting around and talking about the year and talking about how grateful everyone is for having what they have. And just, you know, that's just what it's all about.
Well, it's turned it. You know, I realize it's not a commercial holiday because there's nothing to buy except food.
Wait a second, it's not a what?
You got a new dog. Everyone, my dad has a new dog.
But that's my old dog barking because he's
what did you name?
At the
you got a dog from the pound. What did you name your dog?
I got the pound from a rescue shelter here in Las Vegas.
What did you name him?
Name is JJ.
Oh,
cute. JJ.
That's cute.
Beautiful, beautiful dog. Just, you know, it's just something that's just really lively.
I keep renaming my dog. He doesn't know what his name is. He thinks it's Cookie Watch.
Cookie Watch?
I keep renaming him.
JJ fits. So we got, that's her name. She's a girl. And she's, you know, Manny's new friend. And Manny's got himself a buddy now.
So, everyone, I haven't seen my dad in a long time. He moved to Las Vegas, I don't know, about a year ago, right?
No, it's been 6-7 months.
Oh, okay. And then, so your heyday was Las Vegas.
I used to, and I'm back to do better than I did when I was first here.
Really?
You know, I mean, Elvis is dead.
Opening.
They're all
Elvis
dead. The guys that I work with there, they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only one that's left. In fact, I walked in to see, what's his name, Glenn Campbell. I had worked with him on a television show years ago, and he's working at the Golden Nugget here. And I went to see him, and after the show, I walked into his dressing room, and he said to me, "Sammy, oh, my God, I thought you were dead." So that's, you know, that's
Glenn
what it's all
Campbell.
About. That, you know, that, yeah, you don't remember Glenn Campbell, do you?
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I remember.
Was,
he's still working and still doing it.
I never met
him. Still doing well.
I remember Elvis really well.
Yeah.
And then,
Elvis, and I've been working with Tony Orlando a lot, and Paulie and I just did the House of Blues here in Las Vegas.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I just worked with Petula Clark here. And I'm going to be working with Paulie and I are going to Canada after the first year. Then I'm going to Lake Loughlin, which is close to Las Vegas, about 80 miles. And we'll be starring at the Riverside Hotel there starting in January.
I had no idea you were that busy.
The Cannery. I'm working with the Cannery here with Tony Orlando. I mean, it's enough already. I mean, I'm just, like, working all over the place, which is great. And that's why one of the reasons I came here, not really to find work or anything like that, because L.A., living in L.A. was fine if you're in the movies and television.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not doing that for stand-up, that's what I do. Las Vegas would be the best place.
Yeah,
and I was right when I moved here.
I was born when you dropped Mom off at the hospital.
Yeah, you were in Detroit.
Went to the bowling alley and did your
show. I was working a bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
And after an hour, 2 hours, the doctor came by and walked through the front door and said, "Sammy, you had a girl." And I said, "Oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen, my daughter was just born." And he was looked like he was kind of drunk.
Yeah, I think he was drunk.
Mm-hmm. I think he was kind of drunk, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, everything worked out right. I mean, you're like, you know, 23, 24 years old now, and so soon you'll be middle age when you're around 30. I mean, that's, you know, that's where you get to be 30, 32, forget about it. You're a dinosaur, especially in Hollywood. But seeing that you're still young, yet you have a shot. You have a shot at
that's
making it.
That's why I'm doing Internet Radio on BBS.
The Sandy Seashore Show.
Yeah.
That's it. Anyways, I'm glad you're doing well, Sandy. I'm glad you called me. And if there's anything you want to know about, whatever you want to know about, don't call me because I don't know what's going on. Remember, time flies when you're alive. And thank God we're all still alive. We're all having fun. And our family's still there, and that's the most important thing.
I know, cause, yeah, we're all over the place.
Yeah.
So, but I'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay, Sandy. Looking forward to seeing you. Thanks
all
for
right.
calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so I'm going to say happy Thanksgiving to a few other friends around. Donald, are you there? Okay, I'm going to hang up the phone. And
Gina.
Who's there?
Gina.
Gina!
Hi, Sandy.
Happy Thanksgiving. This is my friend Gina. And
hi.
Gina's coming to you from Lancaster,
oh, God.
The methane capital of the world.
That's right. I lost 30 pounds from the fumes alone when I first moved here. Yeah, but I put it back because I'm resistant now.
And then, Gina's a school teacher.
Yeah.
And that has,
has ruined my life pretty much, Sandy.
The school?
Yeah, it's I've aged about 20 years since I've been here. The kids, you know, I thought I was teaching English. Apparently, I'm teaching health. About every week, a new girl tells me that she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I give a test, it's like the only test they pass. The pregnancy test would be the test they pass. So I teach Lamaze now. You know, the breathing. That's what I teach now. And most of them don't graduate. I mean, you know, they show up pregnant so much. At least I waited till I was a senior. You know, these are 10th, 11th grader girls showing up pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a bad day, Sandy. I haven't been this depressed since last Thanksgiving. Aren't you depressed around the holidays?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No, I just ignore it. So Gina has 5 kids. Single mom, 5 kids, teaching, working like 2 jobs. I mean, meaning because she's teaching and teaching and teaching.
That's all I do. Yeah.
How's your Thanksgiving?
That's why I'm depressed because I didn't do it today. I'm doing it tomorrow when the 3 big kids come up. And that's just depressing. It reminds me of divorces and, you know, it's...
Everyone, who says there's rules, right? We make our own rules.
No, that's true. But, my twins woke me up, Mommy, turkey. I said, no turkey today, turkey tomorrow. And it's been dripping in the refrigerator all over the floor, so I think it's thawed now. I think I left it out. We might have to worry a little bit about salmonella. I'm not sure. But
does anybody have any good turkey recipes out there? I don't know what you do.
I'm not doing anything special. I bought from Winco, which is the big ghetto store out here, and I'm doing paper plates and I'm doing boxed mashed potatoes. That's all I can deal with. I have. My dinette table, I have 2 white chairs, 2 brown chairs, and 2 bar stools that are black. And that's what I have. And a cat who won't eat tuna. I was trying to feed the cat tuna, but he was smelling the
turkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so great to hear your dad on the phone. That was nice.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
No?
He's doing great. Look at that. He's working more than
really amazing.
Really
my kids
doing?
Have been walker. I just put them in the room. They follow me around all day. Mommy, mommy,
yes.
Mommy. You know, so many questions. Mommy, mommy, when are you going to feed me? Mommy, mommy, why don't we have electricity? Mommy, mommy, who's my daddy? All day they've been doing that. I said, I don't know. But I know.
Their birthday's coming up. Their birthday's right around Christmas.
They're going to be 7.
They're going to be 7 years old?
Yeah, they're going to be 7. I just had a birthday.
No, you never told them when their birthday was.
No, yes, I had to, finally. I had to. They're 5 days after Christmas. They know exactly when their birthday is. And I'm screwed every year because I'm broke because of Christmas. And I was actually thinking of doing Disneyland this year because, I'm not going to pay my mortgage because, the whole reason I moved to Lancaster so I could buy a house for the kids, but that whole
you did. She broke
scenario.
Out.
So my mortgage is going up $500. They won't refinance. So you can buy brand new houses now for half of what I paid for this hellhole with no doors. And so
it's a happy day.
Happy, that's like happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
And so Gina does stand-up comedy once in a while, everyone?
Yeah, well,
What's your MySpace?
MySpace.com/ Gina Manning, G-I-N-A-M-A-N-N-I-N-G.
G-I-N-A-M-A-N-N-I-N-G.
Yeah, like Peyton Manning.
Manning.
Yep.
Okay.
I tried to have the show last night, but you heard what happened about that. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was someone from told her there was a comedy show that they
yeah.
wanted her in, and then
and
she showed up, and it wasn't happening.
There was no show, and I had a headliner drive out from the Valley.
This is called Happy Hour. Whee!
I was all day thinking, what am I? I'm so unhappy. What am I going to say to Sandy? I've been drinking coffee all day.
Did you clean your house? Hello. Okay, I guess Gina's off the air. This is BBS at its finest moment. I'm sorry, Gina, that you're cut off, but we have.
This land is your land.
Join us every Tuesday
from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern
on The People Speak with host Basma Farhat
as she interviews guests from the realms of politics,
activism,
spirituality,
literature,
science,
and other social issues.
The People Speak provides a forum
for live audience interaction,
allowing you to speak with guests
and for them to hear and answer you.
This land was made for you.
Hi, this is inspirational speaker Wambui Bahati, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS.com.
Hi, this is Brentwood from Legion of Love. Just letting you know you can now hear some of our new released and unreleased tracks on our website, legionoflove.com. You can also purchase our EPs, Grey Matter Tunes.
Hey, and we're back. It's Sandy Shore. You're listening to Happy Hour. It's Thanksgiving, and we heard some a few friends, and a few other friends evaporated. And we have on the air right now a very special guest for an encore show, James Gilliland, all the way from Oregon. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm actually in Washington. I'm in Trout Lake, Washington, but my P.O. box is in Oregon.
Oh, okay. And it's a little odd because everybody's sort of with their families tonight.
Uh-huh.
So confined, some of my friends were missing in action. But how was your Thanksgiving going?
You know, it was great. You know, it's really nice to have an excuse to get away from the family. That sounds bad, but, you know, it's nice seeing them, and it was good having, you know, 2 or 3 hours there, and it was really good to get back to my own space as well.
Did you have it at your house?
No, I have family living all around me. It seems like my whole family followed me when I moved up to Trout Lake. So I have two sisters here, and my mother's here, you know, they all have houses right surrounding me, and my brother came up from Santa Cruz, California. So it was pretty nice. We had a few other people show up there that didn't have anywhere to go. We always invite a few other people to the table.
Well, it sounds good. And then it's kind of stressful, I guess, for the person that's serving, the one that's preparing.
So. Oh, definitely.
Stressful.
Definitely. I like to just go, like, eat, you know, have fun.
Right.
And then take
well,
off.
I'm. And do you sit there and did they watch the game on TV or the football or just?
No, not really. We're not into sports. My family is a real interesting family. Almost all of us are very into more, you know, cutting edge science or metaphysics or quantum physics or. You know, everything. We're just not. We don't really watch sports on TV.
How do you view the holidays? I mean,
Well, it depends. For quite a while there, I broke away from all the holiday traditions, and I was spending that time just by myself, alone here at the sanctuary, and everybody else ran off and did their thing. And for a few years, I decided, I'm just going to spend this time to really go within and process. And I think, especially towards the end of the year, it's a real good idea to take some time and kind of reflect on the past and what how you've created, your last year, and maybe start focusing on how you'd like to see your next year manifest and release the past and then go forward. So I spent a lot of time doing that and just being letting go of those family ties and all those issues, just severing them and getting.
I think a lot of people don't want to go, but they feel guilty or they feel some kind of reason that they have to go, or they don't want to, I mean, for me, my family's all over the country, and I did not want to drive to L.A., and go and sit in all the traffic, so I didn't partake in, with the family. I mean, we communicated on the phone, so that's how I'm viewing it.
Yeah, and you have this wonderful radio show to give you an excuse.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody's listening tonight.
It works for me when you said, hey, can you come on the air at Thanksgiving? I go, oh, am I out?
if anybody's listening from the last week's show, I had an email. Someone wanted to know about, we were talking about these rejuvenation chambers, maybe aboard a ship, but you said there's some right here on the earth.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me what those are and where they are and how they work?
Yeah, there's if you go to a website, it's langenbergresearch.com. And
okay.
There's a German biophysicist that created quite a few things. He actually crystallized oxygen and stabilized it at room temperature. And he suspends it in a water, and so it becomes a microhydrant. It has a much smaller water molecule. So it hydrates the body, and it increases your blood oxygen.
Can you spell that website again?
Langenberg Research. It's L-A-N-G-E-N. B-U-R-G, and then research.com.
That's really interesting.
And he's actually created these baths where you go into the, and, he can raise the oxygen levels up almost 1,000%. And people go, well, you can't do that. Water is just H2O. Well, it's not really H2O. There's H2O. There's, there's 7O, 6O, 5O. There's all these different combinations that when you get into the higher physics you can do, but he's mastered this, and
is he in the United States, or
he actually is who he's working with right now? I actually helped install the program there. A lot of the equipment is with John Gray, who wrote Men Are from Mars, Women
Are
from Venus.
Really?
And he has, if you go to marsvenus.com, he has these rejuvenation spas that he's operating right now. And that is one phase. And then if you go to langenbergresearch.com, he also has some formulas there that are just incredible. He has the water there, and he has not only just the baths, but he has I hate to say chambers because it sounds like a gas chamber, but it's not. But there's these chambers that you stand in, and they emit 7 different types of oxygen for your body. And then he has a magnetic light table that you lay on that, I tell you what's really bizarre, and I had several witnesses, or I wouldn't say it, but I was on the magnetic light table, and I was levitating. I was actually levitating off the table.
Wow.
And it creates a communication with your etheric body. Some people call it the blue body, and your cells, your physical body. And so you have an aspect of yourself that's the perfect blueprint for your whole and healthy self. And
is there side effects or anything, or people freak out at all?
The only thing is you get a little spacey sometimes. People have different reactions, and sometimes you get a little spacey because you're not... it's almost all of a sudden, you were operating on 110 energy, and the next thing you know, you're operating on 220, and so...
Can you drink the water?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can actually get the water.
Oh.
I believe... Now,
I've heard of that, oxygenated water.
Yeah, it used to be called Aquarius water, and it's shifted to Langenberg water, and I think if you type in Aquarius water, .org, I believe, I think it's AquariusWater.org. It'll still shift you over to the new, you know, he renamed it, you know, after his name.
I'm going to definitely look into that and maybe...
It's amazing stuff, especially with all the, you know, biologicals that we're inhaling right now coming and chemicals that are in the air and in the water.
Chemtrails that go across the sky. What are those chemtrails? I mean, I've heard so many different answers. But
well, you know, if you do the research on them and really look into them, and I know people that have, there's everything in there from nuclear waste to red blood cells to mycoplasms to there's...
Those are the trails, everyone, that goes across the sky, those white long lines that are not from the jets.
Yeah.
They've been going on for years and years and years, like 10 years.
The main components are aluminum oxide and barium. And
I heard they use them so that they could... use it, it's like a radar, or they can just tell, I mean, is it a weapon, is it a weather thing? I mean,
there's several reasons that they're saying. First of all, the officialdom answer, you know, was, emphasis on dumb, you know, was that they don't exist. And first of all, they said, oh, they're just regular contrails, you know, and there's no difference. Well, contrails only last around, you know, 45 seconds.
I'm just so sick of disinformation from,
I think
we're all sick of it.
Exactly.
That's what PBS is about. We're giving more the real information possibly, more than we're going to get in the mainstream media. I think that's what's so great about this.
And then the next thing, you know, Dennis Kucinich actually wrote legislation to try to stop it, the chemtrails,
Say what they're for, what the purpose is?
Yeah, and he states it all in there, what they're doing, the aerosol spraying program. But and then they said, well, we're trying to create a nice shield, you know, to reflect the sun back, and that's actually trapping the air on the Earth, and it's actually heating things up. So they're trying to cool the planet down to kind of waylay the effects of global warming, and so they can, you know, continue burning all the fossil fuels and doing what we've been doing for so long. And but what they're spraying up there is aluminum oxide and ethylene dibromide. And, you know, when you tint your house to kill all the pests in your house, you use ethylene dibromide. That's what you use.
I didn't know.
It's a banned pesticide, and then aluminum oxide gives you, you know, Alzheimer's and all kinds of other nasty effects.
Oh.
It really dumbs people down. So it's just insane. I mean, whoever is doing this and whoever is participating in this, it's one of the biggest acts of treason and pollution I've ever seen on the planet.
Yep, and it's kind of the same concept of making war to have peace. It's just almost like the same stupidity.
But they're finding some all kinds of biologicals that have, you know, markers, dye markers on them. It shows they've been created in labs, and they're finding actually human red blood cells and all these.
What
do
those do? I mean,
well, you know, nobody really knows why are human red blood cells raining down on people other than they're a carrier. They're freeze-dried and they're dropped and they're a carrier for something. And nobody really knows exactly why, but they're finding them in the mixes. So it's a pretty... whoever's behind this, you know, and it tracks right down, goes right up to our leader, basically. And those
The fires, there was a bunch of chemtrails in the air. Right after fires, I go, what are they doing?
Yeah. I mean, isn't there already enough crap in the air? You know, they got to be adding more. But, you know, all the research, when you really look at it, what it boils down to is, you know, compromising the immune system. And, you know, they're going to make a hell of a lot of money in the pharmaceutical companies at the same time.
I heard there's some legislation. They're tired of all the commercials on TV with all the drug company like owning all the commercials, that some people are trying to put a stop to that.
That'd be good.
So that's what we're working on. To shift gears here, you mentioned there was something happening in the month of November.
Yeah, it's actually unfolding as we speak.
What is it?
Well, it's a combination of things. One, they said this whole lid is going to blow off the UFO thing, which it has. You know, with the Larry King show and the CNN coverage and all the other coverage that's going down right now, it's just amazing.
Aren't people going, I didn't see, I'm not going to admit there's aliens, but I saw a spacecraft, and people are just kind of they're being really soft about it, the ones that are coming forward, it seems.
Well, yeah, what's happening is that the people that are coming forward are very heavy hitters. It's like the governor of Arizona, you know, Fife Simonson. He came forward and he recounted his story and he said, look, you know, I had to say what I said at the time, but the bottom line, he said, these were otherworldly craft, you know, and he's the key speaker there. And then they bring in the head of the FAA and they bring in, generals and from all around the world. And, you know, these guys are top Air Force pilots and over, just unbelievable. And these UFOs were on the ground. Some of them touched these UFOs, and then they took off. And then they brought in the usual debunker who looked so bad. I wouldn't even show my face.
That guy with the glasses on?
What's that?
That guy with the glasses on? The
The testimony was so powerful, and you could tell these guys had the highest integrity and very mainstream people, and they know what they're looking at. And they, this debunker was unbelievable. He was a classic example of cognitive dissonance where you just can't accept any other reality than the one you've chosen, no matter how much evidence you're given. They will not budge, you know.
People have a belief system and they're not going to change, but they always have to plant in somebody for the other side on these news.
You know, as far as having a probe, I mean, I think that guy's a great candidate, you know. If the low-level contacts want to pick him up,
You're basically saying that the big event this month that's unfolding now is the release of information on UFOs.
It's more than that. It's also, too, there's just an incredible uncovering of corruption that is just beyond imagination. It's gotten so dark in the economic scene, you know, in the political scene, all of this is all hitting the fan this November, and it's all over the internet.
I get my information like everyone else. You know, I look on the internet for my news, and I mean, there's just the usual, you know, Paris Hilton is doing that, and Britney Spears is doing this, and then there's a few other behind the scenes things that don't seem to be taking the front page like it should be. But can you tell me what you're talking about as far as, are you talking corporations or politics or?
You know, all the above, basically. What I've seen going down is that there's just been incredible hijacking of our economy and, you know, the war industry and what it's been up to and just all the way through the board.
They said they're out of money for the war.
Yeah, they're not.
Isn't that what the news says?
Well, they keep saying that, you know, but they, you know, reason why is the money isn't really going to war. It's going into the pockets of all these huge defense contractors, which these other guys have a nice, cushy, you know, slush fund waiting.
I think we've had enough. I think we've had enough of the deception that I'm just basing my, based on, you know, I don't want my tax money paying for a machine gun, you know. I mean, and we don't have any control over where they're spending the money. And we hired we vote these people in office, but I don't think we really do. I think it's already set up. But I don't want to get into politics too much because that's not my, you know, I don't really care about politics. I have my little world that's going on, and I try to turn people into comedians.
Yeah.
To help them lighten up.
It is a joke right now. It's a very bad joke.
It's a joke. That's the only way to look at it. This is completely off the topic, but I was watching some History Channel thing, and these ladies touched the UFO, and they became radio. I mean, they got radioactivity going on. Don't these ships have radiation or radioactivity?
Well, you know, it depends. Like we were talking about on the last interview, that there's ships that are low level ships, and the contacts there are some ETs working with some very low level rogue elements of our own government. And those do have, they're kind of dinosaurs, you might say. And then the majority of the ships that are out there, the ones with the real power and the real technology, aren't radioactive. And as a matter of fact, the energies they emit from the ship are actually healing energies because the fields coming off of the zero-point, you know, propulsion systems they have are actually healing.
So you know what ship is what ship?
Yeah, over the years that I've learned to experience who's who and actually feel the frequencies of the people on them.
So they won't actually land and come out of the ship. Well, they probably can't take our atmosphere even.
Oh, no, they can. There are some walking among us right now. They're walking right alongside of us, and you wouldn't be able to recognize them. And they're trying to help us and guide us and not to mention all the souls that are incarnating from these higher planes and dimensions that are, assisting humanity in this quantum leap that we're undergoing right now.
It's sort of pushing towards a division, in my opinion, like the dark and the light.
What I was told just recently, I have a telepathic communication going, and they're saying that the universal forces right now are so strong that there's no way of turning back, and we are going to go through a universal, just a huge influx of this universal energy, you might say.
And it's already started, I think.
Yes, and it's a quantum leap in evolution that we're going to be undergoing, and it's going all the way down to the cell level, the DNA levels.
Can you tell us what that means for individuals? On a daily basis, what that means?
Well, what happens is when these bands of energy come rolling through the earth, and through our own physical bodies, it creates a quickening. And we have to rise to the occasion. And if we're holding on to, like, all these old wounds and traumas and dark energy, the controlling energy, the energies that correspond with tyranny, these real heavy energies, It's hitting people very hard, and a lot of people are actually dropping their physical bodies because they don't want to let go and move to the next level and heal. But
would that ringing in the ears be? What's the ringing in the ears?
That's
thing?
Definitely part of it. It's very high level communication coming in.
I've been physically feeling better when I after I talk to you,
mm-hmm.
and then these little squiggly things go flying around in the air.
That is an effect.
Energized. It feels like I'm energized after I speak to you.
Yeah, when people come to the ranch here, they get totally energized. It's amazing. They go, what happened to me? I always tell people, you come up here for a couple of days,
to
you won't
feel
go
better.
Back the same.
If you could just feel good enough to get there, it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it's over. It's like the words, the grandmother's house, do-do-do-do-do. huff and puff and see if you can get there. So it's an upliftment. So I definitely feel people are not, the main thing is people are just sick and tired of the same old controlling, our gas prices, our food, our everything, and there's nothing we can do about it except go off on our own somewhere, but then how do you support yourself,
mm-hmm.
So there's that, and now do you think the earth will just take care of things, or how is that?
Well, definitely, I've interviewed people, and we've all come to the same conclusion that there's different realities going on here, and we have the collective consciousness that are pretty much controlled, through the media, and they're all the spin and everything else. That's all set into place, too, because they know consciousness is creating reality, and so they're guiding consciousness with all the nonsense and the terror and the spins and everything, and then you have other people that have stepped out of the herd that are creating a different reality, and they're moving with this flow. And then you have nature's destiny, which, the earth is alive, and she has her own destiny, which is to heal and cleanse herself and move to the next level. So you have all these realities, playing out, and you've got, 6.5 billion people on the planet as a collective going one way, and you've got the earth going another way. And it's all intermingled, and then you have individuals that are just saying, they're waking up very fast, and they're coming forward, and they're saying, look, this is really a mess. It's time to take a good look at what we're doing to each other.
Can we really fix it, or
planet.
Is it, I just think it's, the system's so ingrained, I don't know how things are going to, accept people in their own little worlds,
mm-hmm.
Our own individual worlds. We can change our own world, but there's not much we can do on the outside. We can't control what the government does.
Well, the bottom line is that we are the government, and if we're asleep and we're unconscious and we're being herded, then that's what we're doing. But if enough people wake up and rise up to the occasion and say, we want to return to Eden and live in harmony with each other, nature, and you know, we want to evolve to our highest potential, and we're tired of being suppressed and held down. You know, enough people come forward and start waking up like that. It's like a wave.
What is it that people are so fascinated that we're like voyeuristic, like we're so interested in what so-and-so is doing, or a neighbor, or they love the, you know, the violence. I think it's a lot to do with men. I mean, mm-hmm. the wars, and I mean, people are just, we hear so much negative news, and I think we're sick of it, but at the same time, people thrive on it.
Well, there's a combination of things. One is a lack of love, you know, lack of, especially love of self, which is, mm-hmm. is very, you know,
that's
rampant right now. And the other thing about it has to do with frequencies. If you're on a higher frequency, when you look at this stuff, you go, oh, boy, I don't even want to go there. You know, I don't even want to listen to it.
You know, I can't even watch any violence or negativity on TV. If there's a movie, I just turn it off. I can't stand it.
I'm the same way. I have to go see a comedy, or it has to be have a real powerful message that's enlightening.
Just, you know, I'm expanding my comedy, my workshops. I'm expanding them further. I'm getting ready to put them online so that mm-hmm. more people can have it. It's not just a comedy. It's the tool, because people don't know how to lighten up.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm giving people, like, exercises and tools to use on how to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that's my part in the world. You know, I keep, you know, it's like I kept trying to escape it, and I keep going back to it. You know, I've been doing it since 92, and it's just part of my destiny is, you know.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that the true nature of the source, whatever you want to call it, is just this ecstatic, loving, joyous, blissful being. And comedy actually takes you closer to God, you know. There's a couple things that take you close to God, and one is, believe it or not, good sex with a lot of love involved, because you've got the two polarities coming together
mm-hmm.
and as one unit, and that joining together, as long as it's clean and high integrity and very loving, you know, exalts you to a much higher level. And the other one is comedy. Is, you know, comedy, when you're laughing, when you have those laughing fits, I mean, you get so high and your crown starts opening up, and it's amazing. So there's other techniques as well. I mean, I don't want to push those too. I mean, there's a lot of deep meditation techniques and other spiritual practices to help you get there. But eventually, when you do get there, you're in this just total sovereign, loving, joyous, blissful state.
It's a state of mind.
Exactly, and you don't need to go look into other people's lives or other things, because you have your own life, and you're...
If they can just say, this is just a play, and not to be so serious about every little thing that's happening, it's just to learn to trust
exactly.
the process, then people wouldn't be so worried about how to pay this and
uh-huh.
and how to deal with that. And, you know, and my big thing in life is, you know, as I grew up, you know, the betrayal, people did it out of, they do it out of fear.
Yeah.
You know, betrayal, and that I can't handle that.
Yeah, I've had quite a few experiences around that one that I had to deal in.
But you know what? They did it. They do it to themselves.
Eventually, everything you do to yourself. Eventually, because you know you're just stacking your karma up.
And there's this thing now of, you know, giving and serving, and that's, I think that would put someone in a joy state. Like if you do one nice thing during the day to some stranger,
mm-hmm.
hold the door open, or you know, let them pass in front of you in the car, and you do one nice thing, it makes you feel so good. I mean, that's my experience.
You know, I've always felt, we do a lot of process-oriented therapy, and when I see people heal and release, you know, and the huge emotional release that comes behind this, and to me, that brings me the greatest joy, you know, first of all, to see the tears or feel the energy move up, because I'm one with them when it's happening. And I feel everything that they're feeling, and I'll be seeing in the past or forward. I'll see the experience. And when they heal that and release that, to me, that's the greatest joy of seeing people drop the baggage that, you know, is interfering with their own, making their own personal God connection, basically.
You know what? We're because of the Internet, we have so much, I mean, the other countries around the world, we have it so easy over here compared to other countries, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
We have certain perceived freedoms, and we're able to explore religiously and spiritually, you know, but, I'm just wondering, all the souls on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how can there be, I mean, is the population going to just keep doubling? I mean, how is the planet I know I'm changing the subject.
Well, nature's going to take care of a lot of that. You know, my brother just went to Australia and New Zealand, and he was talking about, you know, how they live there, and they pay one-third of the taxes we do, and everything is covered. And all their, you know, needs, their dental needs, their medical needs, everything is covered, and it's just amazing. And the people there that he met, you know, he said were just very beautiful people. They weren't all stressed out, and so a lot of this American dream is just really a nightmare, and people need to get out and travel more. I mean, I've seen some very poor people that have nothing that are more happy and more blissed out than most Americans.
It's all this buy.
Exactly. Material objects don't have any emotions around them, and we've been programmed to think that, you know, if we get the fancy car and drink the right beer and do all this, we're going to be happy. You know, we are going to hook up with this beautiful bronze blonde, you know. And
I think people's consciousnesses are, at least in, you know, our neck of the woods, are realizing that that's empty. So
exactly.
You know, they're looking
it's a program.
To replace it with.
Yeah, it's a program, and you have to break that program and realize that, you know, all happiness, all emotions, all joy, all love, everything comes from within. It's an emotion felt within. It's not subject to an outer object. Even people don't make you happy. They don't make you sad. They don't do anything. They just trigger. They're just touchstones that trigger emotions within self. So,
like the mirrors.
Exactly. And when you realize and master this, you can go, you know what? You catch yourself at first and you go, you know, I could be really angry right now, but at the next moment I could just be really happy and drop this, or I could be really sad, or I could be in just totally blissed out. And when I was working on this, I mean, I was right in the middle of a heated argument once, and I just started laughing. And I just saw, it's like my higher self stepped in, and I saw how I bought the drama and how ridiculous this was, and nothing was worth joy. And the next thing you know, I'm just laughing. And the other person I was with thought I was crazy, you know, and I just said, I can't even explain this to you. I just walked away. I said, I can't even explain to you what just happened, you know.
It's a reminder of what's important, what's not important.
I think what's important is our true nature, which is just this loving, joyous, blissful goddess or God, you know, energy that's within us, and to become one with that.
It's okay to just say we're just here to experience joy and let everything else, like, in responsibility. So it's a school we're in.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, the thing is that, you know, we have a choice. We can keep manifesting the lack and the sadness and the sorrow and all the other nonsense and from the old patterns, the old wounds and traumas, or we can heal those and clear those and shift into what I call creationary mind, not reactionary mind, where you're creating your tomorrow and you're creating, your future.
Would you say it's easy as I'm not going to think that way anymore and just change your thinking and then boom, it's done?
Yeah, you have to shift into an aspect of yourself that's called the observer. It's that point within you, that God point, and you're observing yourself. And pretty soon, the more you learn how to do that, a lot of things just start falling away, and you're watching yourself from another level, you might say, that's just going, wait a minute. You know,
like a third person.
I got caught again. I bought the drama. I bought the play that's acting out here. And as you learn to step out of that and back into the observer, pretty soon it's all just a play, and you're just kind of observing it, and you're centered in that loving, joyous God self position, and it just doesn't have the effect anymore.
It's really hard when people are struggling to get by every day to, like, flip, but then their everyday existence will change because their insights have changed.
Exactly. The thing is that they're in reactionary mind, and that program, that survival, all that manufactured lack, that's all a program that was generated, and they bought into it, and now they have to change the program and just say, you know, been there, done that, I'm going to do something else now.
You know what, I think there's, you know, when we accomplish something, it's like the joy you feel inside after you've accomplished something instead of worrying about it. I think that's where life really begins, when you start feeling the joy. I don't know, I think the word happy is just an emotion and it's fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the joy and discovering your who you are, which is, you know, we come here, we learn, you know, and we react. It's how we react, and we have these choices, and it's all in the choices we make. And I think that's, you know, that's what I've learned. It's what I believe in, and it's the choices, you know.
Yeah, it's choices, but it's also, you know, choices. A lot of times you're still reacting through choices because the choices are laid out for you according to this program. And so you would have to step back one more level and just say, you know, I'm not going to choose from this program anymore. I'm going to create my own reality, and I'm going to create a different reality. And, you know, there's a lot of movies out, you know, like The Secret and things like that are helping people understand this. But I feel like, you know, I think The Secret's a great program, but it's a little bit of an infomercial for materialism. And, you know, the next step after that, after you've manifested all the junk, you know, is to realize you can just be happy for no reason.
You know what, speaking of The Secret, there's one thing that was really lacking that they didn't put in there. It's about we've come here to learn lessons, and certain lessons you can't get out of.
Yeah.
So there's nothing, there's no secret about that, and there's no way to fix, you know, what you came here to learn. That's that. You know, and I don't care what anyone says. We have, you know, we can change our belief system, but we can't change our character. You know, and that's what I've come to believe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right? You know, you can actually, because we do have, see, nothing's fixed. And we do have an outline, you might say, and you have an overview even before you incarnate. You see the whole outline, and you have flexibility within that outline of moving in and out of it. That at any time you can gain the wisdom from that experience, or you can use other very advanced spiritual practices.
I have a question.
Clear that.
I have a question. When you had your near-death experience, did they show you your other lifetimes?
Yes, they did.
Oh, tell me, what were you?
Oh my God, I've done everything. Yeah.
Tell me, what was your last life and what year?
You know, there really isn't any time. That's something that people have a hard time comprehending, but everything is still going on. There isn't any time in spirit. And so all these experiences are still happening, and it's a really hard thing to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
But it's like I've done everything from being a Viking warrior and hacking off heads, and I know why I did that and the deep hurt inside that turned me into that. I was a road bandit. You know, I've been llamas and yogis and very highly evolved beings. I've had off-world existences. They revealed pretty much all of it. I was just watching it all, like, over and over, like this ongoing film.
And then what brought you to this lifetime? What was your lesson for this lifetime?
Oh, you know, I hate to say that because people would start putting me up on a pedestal. I don't want to do that. I'm not any higher or lower than anybody. But I came in to undo some things and change some things and kind of redirect the planet into a different destiny, you might say, along with probably a few billion other people that are working on the same project.
You're like my family founded the comedy store and the comedy revolution.
Uh-huh.
And I was incarnated into this family for that reason.
Exactly.
To move it along.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We all have a niche to play, and we have to, like, get out of judgment as to one being higher or lower.
That's a beautiful word, that judgment word, because that's not, we're not here to judge even ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, there's. I have friends that talk about, they said there's 2 or 3 steps to hell, you know, and the first step is me, you know, is the me step, you know, and the separation, the division thing. And then the other one is, it's not fair, you know.
It's not fair.
You know, it just is, you know, it's unfolding. And really, we're here to master judgment and learn how to operate with these powerful emotions and learn to create our own destinies and you know, make the unknown known and experience. You know, this is the apex of creation. Believe it or not, the source itself has lowered itself through all the dimensions to this dimension, this Hertzian level, and this physical reality. And this is God manifest, you know, so...
Really?
It's not a bad place. It's not a low place. This is where the bravest of angels come. This is where the masters get their master's degree, you might say. So it's quite a challenge, and you can get lost in the test, you might say, or the program.
Do you think it's helpful if people know why they're here as far as, like, incarnating? Do you think that's hard information to get? I mean, not very many people know that.
Well, you know, almost any master will not tell you. They will not tell you why you're here. They'll hint. They'll give you techniques to tap in and align with your own unique soul purpose. But
so how does someone find their soul purpose if they
don't know? You need to just take a look at everything you've experienced through this life, because almost all of it is preparing you for your next step. And take a look at it, and then meditate on it, and go with your feelings. And what does it feel like? When things feel right, okay, this is where I need to go. You need to go through that and move through that. Even if it isn't a good experience, it's an experience you needed to go through to take the next step, to move to the next level. So you go by your feelings and let that guide your evolution, and you'll feel whether or not you should involve yourself here or there or where to go, because, you know, the bottom line, God is a feeling. It's not a little old man with a beard, you know, with a lightning bolt waiting for you to screw up. It's a loving, joyous,
true.
Blissful feeling.
We take with us how we made people feel. That's mm-hmm. what we take with us. We don't take all our toys and stuff.
Exactly. You know, it's how you've engaged the other and how you've engaged the planet. You know, people go, well, matter doesn't, you know, nothing matters down here anyway. You know, this is just all the physical, and in spirit, it doesn't matter. Well, what you do here in the physical, to the physical, and to physical people on the earth, actually weighs either heavy or light in your soul, which determines your next understanding. So it is very important. The earth is very important. And
I don't
what
feel
we
like
do
I'm
here.
From these parts, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, just your interest in this and some of the experiences you've told me about make it pretty clear you're part of the team, you know, that came in to help turn this planet around.
I should post them on the BBS webpage, some of the hieroglyphs that I was talking about those last week. And I sent you a few pages.
Yes, uh-huh.
You know, so those were, they looked like hieroglyphs. They're just energy symbols
yeah.
and things.
I wish I could find this Kung Fu master I knew. He's a Qigong master, too, and he could read those. And it's an ancient cuneiform. And he could actually read most of it, but there were some that he couldn't read.
It just happens. Who knows what purpose it serves at this? I mean, I kind of have an idea what it serves, but
yeah. Well, yeah, on a soul level, I'm sure you know what they mean, and they're triggering things on inner level.
Yeah, I was getting a lot of information from them myself.
It's like the crop circles are the same thing. The crop circles are triggering soul memories, and that information is triggering.
I think the most exciting thing in the world right now is the UFO, you know, exposure.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is going to wake people up to more of their spiritual
yeah.
side and their where they're from, their destiny, and it's going to... And people like us that have been studying and this all our lives, this is like just part of an everyday experience. But
yeah.
people that are stuck in their belief system, they're going to have a hard time grasping the concept of it.
Yeah, it's a step right now. I mean, basically, they're still trying to prove that they exist, but the real question is, not do they exist. I mean, pretty much everybody knows that they do exist. You know, there's almost in the 90% now mm-hmm. believe that UFOs are real. But, you know, we need to go, okay, if they do exist, who are they, why are they here, and how have they interacted with us in the past? How much have they been involved in our past history? And when you start getting those answers, it all starts coming together.
That we're made up of the universe.
And that's our focus, is to, you know, enlighten people as to who they really are and why they're here. And there's different groups with different intentions. And
you know, that's a good cliffhanger to do another show with, who they are and why they're here.
Sounds great.
Let's do that next, you know. So it's almost the top of the hour. But,
yeah, they can go to their website, you know, the eSETI.org website,
okay,
and get a lot of that information.
ETI.org, ECETI.org.
Yeah, ECETI.org.
And you have a new DVD out?
Yeah, did you get a chance to watch it yet?
Yes, I sure did.
How'd you like it?
Oh, I loved it.
You know,
absolutely.
Everybody, it's gotten standing ovations at the special screenings. Every one we've done, people...
That's got to get out there. It's called, go give them the... It's an actual website.
Yeah, if you just go to eSETI.org, it pops right up.
Okay, yeah, it's
called
contacthasbegun.com.
Yes.
And I have my website's being worked on still. It's the comedy. It's sandyshore.com, SANDISHORE, if anybody.
I should send you some footage of these UFOs coming in and powering up and everybody going, holy shit.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
No, and I definitely want to come out there.
Yeah, and then you can play it. You can put it on the screen when next time you have a comedy thing and just see what people do. look at their faces afterwards.
Do they ever come out in the daylight? It seems everything's always at night over there.
Yeah, you know, look at, go down, and when you're in the website, go down where it says, Thank You, Sam, and there's this wonderful DVD. This guy came and spent a couple days and took photographs, and there's incredible daylight shots of these ships hovering over the mountain, and some of them are enormous.
They won't step out of the ship, though, right?
You know, not yet, because we're too aggressive, and all we do is shoot at them or run from them. But that's why we need to educate people, you know, as to who they are and how they can help us in the future.
We're just exotic animals, like all the other animals on the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, our show is winding down here.
All right.
We got to go. I want to wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. James, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, anytime.
This is Sandy Shore with Happy Hour, and we'll have you on again really soon. And everybody, good night. I'll see you next Thursday.
Good night.